Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 16. Honor thy father and thy mother. Title for the sermon is Children, Submit to Your Parents. Children, submit to your parents. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have the retelling. Of course, the book of Deuteronomy is a retelling of the law. It's when the next generation, after they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they were to go into the promised land. And Moses gives, once again, the laws, the retelling of the law. And here in Deuteronomy 5, we have a retelling of the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. It says, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, children. This is the commandment of God, not just from your parents. You are to honor your father and your mother, both your parents. It says here, there's a promise that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, you know, society is constantly thinking about how do we prolong our lives? And often, you know, we talk about our diets and exercise and living in a, you know, clean environment. You know, all these things are necessary to have a long life. Obviously, countries, nations that have short lifespans often don't have clean running water. They don't have good medical help. They haven't got good food to eat. But God says there's one way you can definitely prolong your life. That's simply by honoring your father and your mother. And not just prolong your life, that you would live longer years, but that it may go well with thee. I mean, I think life is hard enough, right? The challenges of life, living a long life is challenging enough. If you want your life to go well, it doesn't mean you won't have any problems, but, you know, compared to most people in the world, you want your life to go well and you want to live a long and happy life. An easy one for you children is to honor your father and your mother. God's given you those parents that you would be subject unto them, that you would learn how to be subject, you would learn how to humble yourself, that you would learn guidance and instruction from those that have gone before, those that have had greater experience than you. And no parent here, and certainly not me, believe we're some perfect parents. Not only do your parents know they're not perfect, but every parent knows every other parent here in this church is not perfect. We all know that. We all recognize that. And you know what? Your parents aren't always going to be the best and they're going to make mistakes over the years. But you know what? Even then, God's commandment to you is to honor your father and your mother. And he gives you this great promise of a long and happy life. Now, if you can come with me, please, to Ephesians. Come with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Some people might say, well, Pastor, that was the Old Testament. Those are the Ten Commandments given to the covenanted people there in Israel. You know, not only was it to, not only would their days be prolonged, not only would their days go well for them, but God speaks about their days going well on the land that he's given them. And some people might say, well, see, that's got to do with the Old Testament covenant nation of Israel and the physical land of Canaan that God had given them. Well, come with me to Ephesians 6, and I want to show you this. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1, Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, what is the right thing to do? To obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says in verse number 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, notice he doesn't mention the land which God has given you, because you know, that has to do with something, the old covenant, the old land had to do with the physical covenanted nation of Israel. The land is missing from this teaching here, but you notice that God takes this same commandment, one of the Ten Commandments there about honoring your father and mother, and brings it up here in the New Testament, preaching to the Ephesian New Testament church. And he gives the same commandment, honor your father and your mother. And it's the first commandment with a promise, and that promise being that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. If you ever come up to me and say, Pastor, how can I be sure to live the longest life I can on the earth and a good life? I just say, honor mom and dad. Honor mother and father. And what you see there in verse number 1 is to, if you're not sure what it means to honor, we have verse number 1 to give further clarification. Children, obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And again, children, we know that mums and dads aren't perfect. This has been a whole series on submission, hasn't it? And we've spoken about how we ought to submit to the government. Is the government always perfect? Nope. We spoke about submitting to the pastor. The church will submit to the pastor. Is the pastor perfect? Nope. We spoke about employees submitting to their employers. Are your employees always perfect? Nope. And children, when you submit to your parents, guess what? Your parents aren't perfect. Okay? And if you don't, you know, understand that, one day when you'll be parents, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. That you're like, no, I'm going to raise my kids differently. You know, we're going to do things right all the time. That's not the real world. You'll find soon enough that you'll be making some of the same mistakes, maybe even greater mistakes than your parents. And then you'll be like, oh, my parents weren't that bad after all. But it takes time sometimes to learn these generational lessons. But I want to show you very clearly, even though it's an Old Testament principle, the New Testament picks up that same principle and it's taught to the New Testament church. Can you come with me to Colossians 3? Colossians 3. Colossians 3 in verse number 20. Colossians 3 and verse number 20. Colossians 3 and verse number 20. Colossians 3, verse number 20. This same instruction gets given here in the book of Colossians. But a little bit further instruction. It says in Colossians 3, 20, children, obey your parents. Yep, we've seen that. In all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So children, when are you to obey your parents? In all things. Anything your parents ask of you. And you know what? This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, I want you to understand, we all want to please the Lord, don't we? We want the Lord to look down on our lives and say, boy, that person, that individual gives me a lot of pleasure. You know, I look down and I just have a smile on my face when I see, you know, so-and-so behave this way. The greatest thing, children, that will please your Lord is simply to obey your parents sometimes in all things, the Bible says. In all things. Now, come with me to Matthew 15. I'll keep talking. Come with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Now, when I think about submission and the series that we've gone through, you know, throughout these weeks and months so far, you know, I've often mentioned how, you know, if the person in authority is asking you to do wickedness, to commit sin, we are not to obey. We are to obey God, right? Rather than man. We are to obey God rather than man. And that is true. You know, in almost every aspect of life, that is most definitely true. But sometimes, you know, children are asked to do something by their parents, and children aren't sure. I mean, children are growing, especially young children. They're developing. They don't know always what is right and wrong, right? Like, for example, let's say we've got a drunkard of a husband and he says to his wife, you know, go buy me a beer. Go, you know, help me intoxicate myself. I would say to the wife, you know better. You're an adult. You know that is, you know, you should not give your neighbor to drink, let alone your husband to drink. And you can say to your husband, look, I'm not doing that. Look, I'll get you a Coke. I'll get you a Coke, no sugar. I'll get you a Pepsi, but I'm not going to get you alcohol because I need to obey my Lord God. I need to do what is right and wrong. I don't have the same expectations myself on children because they don't really know. Like the husband might say to the wife, go get me a beer at the pub or something like that. I mean, kids can't buy drinks, alcohol anyway, but hypothetically, let's say they could just for the sake of this illustration. Okay. And they say to the kids, oh, okay, your mum won't, but can you go and buy me a beer? And like a little kid probably like, oh, this is my dad. I guess I got to do. I think I remember from the Bible saying to obey my parents in all things. And they go out there and they buy the alcohol and they give it to the dad. And I'll show you in a minute why, but I believe that child is without, you know, like his judgment from the Lord is going to be much lighter, if any judgment at all. Because that child's still in development age. It's still growing, right? I mean, I remember, I think I shared this before, but our brains aren't fully matured, aren't fully developed until you're about 26 years old. All right, so what about a 9-year-old child? What about a 12-year-old child? It's hard for them to understand the differences between right and wrong. And this is why children have parents. Because parents are supposed to guide, direct, and teach. You know, we've all long-suffering and teaching the commandments of God to their children. And so I don't have the same expectation on young children as I do on adults. Okay, I do believe God will judge them differently. And sometimes, you know, especially if you've grown up in a home that is not a Christian home, you might be asked from your parents sometimes to do things that are wicked and sinful, But I do believe God's going to hold those parents accountable for those commandments they've given the children rather than the children themselves that have enacted those things. But I wanted you to turn, and I'll prove that a little bit further, but come with me to Matthew 15. I think you're already there. Matthew 15 and verse number 1. Matthew 15 and verse number 1. Now, what we have here is this commandment, again, it gets brought up by Jesus, honoring your father and your mother. But this time, it's not in context of young children. In fact, this is in context of adult children, okay? In Matthew 15, verse number 1, it says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.'" So they're like, "Your disciples aren't washing their hands. They're transgressing the traditions." And by the way, before you eat bread, wash your hands. But it's a tradition. It's not a commandment of God. I want you to understand that, okay? It's good for you to wash your hands, but you can't command that to an individual and say, "This is the law of God. It's the tradition of man," okay? And Jesus Christ responds, verse number 3, and he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress," look at this, "the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor thy father and mother,' and 'He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death.'" Well, there's another reason for the death penalty in the Bible. Cursing your father and your mother. God says, if you curse your father and mother, you deserve to die. What does it mean to curse your father and mother? To wish harm upon them, to seek to destroy the livelihoods and the lives of your father and mother. If a child raises up to destroy their parents, that child deserves to die according to the perfect law of God. Look at verse number 5. "But ye say," so that's what God says, "but ye say, 'Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you.'" Now that might go over your head a little bit. For me, when I read Matthew 15 alone, it goes over my head a little bit. But I want you to notice that there is a gift involved here, okay? And in verse number 6, "And honor not his father and mother, he shall be free." Jesus is saying, you've got a rule in your traditions that allows men, so these are adult men, okay, I'll show you in a minute why, who you're allowing them to just get away with cursing their father and mother as long as they bring a gift. Now, let me give you a little bit more understanding of what this is teaching. If you come with me to Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7 helps clarify. It's the same instruction, same teaching, same setting, but we get a little bit more information about what this gift is. Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 9. So essentially, these Pharisees are telling individuals, "Oh, you curse father and mother? That's okay, as long as you bring a gift, and now you're free." All right? And Jesus says, that's your tradition, and that's transgressing the commandments of God. Well, in Mark chapter 7, verse number 9, "And he said unto them, 'Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say," right, there it is again, "but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer," or you allow him, "no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Now, verse number 11, let's look at it again. "But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban." Now, if you don't know what that it's not an English word. Korban is not an English word, okay? It's a transliterated word from the Greek, which is a transliterated word from the Hebrew, which means a sacrifice or an offering, okay? That is the gift that is coming and being offered there in the temple. So you've got a man who is not honoring father and mother. You've got a man that is cursing father and mother. as long as they come to the temple and bring their gift, they come to the temple and bring the sacrifice, the Pharisees are saying, you guys are fine. It's all settled. The fact that you cursed your father and mother, the fact that you're not honoring them, you're free. You're free to go because you brought a sacrifice and you brought a gift here to the temple. There's no such thing. There's no such thing like that. You know, and this is a tradition of the Pharisees. And Jesus says, look, you're transgressing God's law. You're letting people get away with cursing father and mother as long as they bring a gift to the temple. As long as they bring a sacrifice to the temple, they're fine. Jesus pointing out this great truth, you know, repeated for us again, that we are to honor our parents. And look, someone coming to bring a gift, a sacrifice, of course, is a grown man, okay, coming and offering that. And even then, a grown man is supposed to honor father and mother. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more in more detail as we continue. Honor your father and your mother. Can you come with me to Exodus 21? Exodus 21. Exodus 21 and verse number 17. Exodus 21, verse number 17. You know, essentially the teaching here is this, guys. If you're out cursing your parents, you're not honoring your parents, you can't just go and do some good task. Oh, but I went to church. Oh, but I've offered a sacrifice. Oh, I brought a gift. And think, oh, that's fine. You can continue just cursing your parents or not honoring your parents. Okay, that's that. Obviously, that doesn't work in real life, right? If you get arrested for stealing a car or something, and you get your judgment handed down, you got to go to prison for 6 months. You can't turn around to the judge. Oh, but here's a gift. I mean, I guess that works sometimes. In some, here's a gift, judge. I'm bringing you a gift. I'm bribing you with my good works. Let me go free. You'd say that'd be a corrupt judge to allow that man to go free. Doesn't matter what good you've done, if you've committed a crime, you deserve the punishment that is associated with that crime. Especially the death penalty. Man, I don't want to curse my parents. I don't know about you, but I want to live a long and happy life. So far, so good. Man, if God takes me home tomorrow, I'd say I still lived a good life, you know? And I truly believe part of that is just honoring my mom and dad. Was my mom and dad perfect? No. Were they great parents? Yeah, I'd say they're great parents. Were they perfect though? No. Okay. I love them. I appreciate them. And even to this day, I think about my parents. I still honor my mom and dad, even to this day. And I'll explain to you in a minute how we do that. But Exodus 21, verse number 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Look, the Bible can't be any clearer on this topic. Oh, what about if they're bad mothers and fathers? What if they've done some really horrible things? Surely then the kids can go out and curse their parents. No. Come with me to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 9. Leviticus 20, verse number 9. Leviticus 20, verse number 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Come with me to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse number 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father. What does that mean, to set at light his father or his mother? You know, we kind of use that terminology today. Let's say there's something that's happened, and let's say I joke about it. You'll say, oh, you made light of that situation. You know what I'm talking about? Like maybe there's a serious situation, there's something serious, but, you know, we laugh it off. you've made light of that situation. That's kind of what they're saying, okay? When children are essentially laughing, mocking, like, I'm not saying joking around with your parents or something like that, right? Or laughing at something your parents did the other day. Oh, that was funny. But like actually trying to destroy their life and their reputation, mocking them, making light of their lives and your upbringing and the hard work that your parents did to raise you, Bible says you're cursed if you do that. I'm reading these passages to you, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. These are lessons that when you're early in your Bible reading, if you're starting from Genesis, you should learn that pretty quickly, that this is a commandment from God. And please don't get involved in interactions, either in person or online, with children cursing their father and their mother. Please, be careful. Be careful about what you get involved in. So what about Genesis? We've got Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Come with me to Genesis chapter 9, please. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. We're going to look at least what I believe to be the very first time clearly laid out in the Bible where a child essentially curses their father. Okay, in Genesis 9, you guys know this story here. I'm not going to go into any great depth here, but we have after Noah. Like, Noah is a great man, not just a great man of faith. I mean, the human race owes it to Noah, really. Like, we should not be alive today. You know, back in Genesis 6, God decided to just wipe out mankind. But there was one man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Noah. And then he asked Noah to do something crazy, like build an ark. Go and build this ark and let's just get all these animals on there. Bring your family on board. That's quite a work, quite a task to do. I'm sure everybody that observed Noah as he was building the ark thought, this guy's just nuts. This guy's crazy. What's he doing? Noah's a great man. We owe our lives to Noah. He's our great, 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 all the way back grandfather, right? We all have this, you know, our DNA going back to Noah at the very least. But you know, after Noah came off the ark and he did a great work for the Lord, a great man of God, a great man of faith. The Bible says here in Genesis 9, he did something wrong in verse number 20. Yeah, a great man did something wrong in verse number 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Was that the right thing to do, to get drunk on alcohol? It's the wrong thing, isn't it? Noah did wrong. So let's call him out for all the mistakes he's done. Verse number 22, yeah, that's what Ham did. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. So Ham walks in, sees his drunken, naked dad. Made a mistake, didn't he? Big mistake. You know, a drunkard ought to be kicked out of the church. It's a pretty big mistake. Anyway, he goes and announces the folly of his father to his brothers. And it says in verse number 23, and Shem and Japheth, the other two brothers, took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And I won't go into the story. I won't continue the story there. I want to show you the differences between children, how they behave with their parents, or at least their father, when he's made a big mistake. You have one child that wants to tell everybody else. I mean, he essentially told the whole world, because that's all that there was, as far as human beings were. He went to proclaim it to the whole world. Dad's drunk and naked. Did you know that? Ha ha ha. What a loser. And the other two, man, yeah, dad's messed. Let's go cover his nakedness. Let's cover his shame. Let's not even look at it. We don't want to get involved. We'll just go and let's protect our dad as best as we can. It's the first story that we have about a situation like this. A wicked child versus good children, how they behave to their parents. Say, Pastor, which side are you on? Are you on Noah's side or are you on Ham's side? They both did wrong. Oh, I'm with Noah. Yeah, it's good to get drunk and naked like that. No. Oh, you're with Ham then. If you can't support Noah, you must be with Ham. No, Ham was wrong. He got cursed. His child got cursed. Canaan got cursed because of his actions. Then we have the stories of the Canaanites, and they had to be wiped out by the children of God eventually. God wanted all the Canaanites wiped out, men, women, and children, for their wickedness. You know what side I'm on? Noah's family. Fix it, Noah. Children, honor your mama and father. Honor your parents. Have a loving family. Sort out your differences. Understand dad's going to make mistakes, even if he's a great man of God. And even great men of God make mistakes. I support families, is what I support. I've always said, what's going to make New Life Baptist Church a strong church are strong families. Look, there's no need to announce your parents' mistakes. There's no need to announce it to the whole world, lest a curse fall upon you. And you don't live a long life. And your days don't go well for you, as we've seen. Look, no one's going to put you to death in 2024 for cursing your mum and dad. I think. I don't think there's anywhere in the world that would, maybe there are places in the world that still do that. I don't know. But boy, do you really want God to be looking down upon your life and saying, this person should have died a long time ago for how they treated their mum and dad? And I just want to point that out because Noah's a great man. What a great man of God. But he messed up pretty bad. It's not about taking sides, is it? It's about wanting the best for the family. And at the end of the day, if Ham had to say anything to anybody, he goes to God, he should go to God, and say, God, my dad's messed up here. You know, I have to vent about this, and I'm not going to go to my brothers and shame my dad, but I'm going to go to you, Lord. Can you please help my dad to not be a drunkard and not make these mistakes again? That would have been the right thing to do. Or done like his brothers and covered his dad's nakedness and not said anything to his brothers? Why do you have to embarrass your parents like that? Can you come with me to the Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Children, honor your father and your mother. Obey them in all things. And understand, mum and dad are going to make mistakes and sometimes very big mistakes in life. That does not mean you have now permission from God to go curse your parents. Okay, now, the book of Proverbs, children, young people, teenagers, young adults, the book of Proverbs is really for you. Really, it is. You know, there are certain books written for certain people. You know, the book of Song of Solomon is written for husbands and wives to have a strong marriage. You know, the book of Proverbs is written to young people. Okay, it's the book of wisdom. Now, it's good for everybody. It's good. We all need wisdom. Okay? But like I said, your parents aren't perfect. Your parents don't have all knowledge. Your parents maybe sometimes have taught you incorrectly. Okay? But I guarantee, at least I'm talking about this church here and any other God-fearing church in Christ Jesus. I know those parents want to teach you and guide you in the words that you find in the book of Proverbs. Your parents might not be the best teachers. They might be lousy examples sometimes. Okay? Your parents may not even have grown up in a Christian home or have much biblical knowledge. You might look at your parents and say, they don't know that much, Pastor. You know, what's my chances of success when my parents don't have as much knowledge as other parents do? Well, I want to tell you, children, young people, that your parents want to give you every word of advice that is found in the book of Proverbs. Take the book of Proverbs as these are the words my parents want to tell me and teach me and guide me in, even when maybe they can't because of the lack of their ability. Okay? Now look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, just very quickly. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You see, Proverbs 1 begins with a father speaking to his son. Now come to the last chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. Last chapter in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse number 1. Proverbs 31 and verse number 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So Proverbs begins by words that a father says to his son. Proverbs ends with words that the mother says to her son. Brethren, the book of Proverbs are for young people, for children. You need wisdom, you need knowledge, you need experience. Mom and dad try their best to teach you in their own way these instructions that are found in Proverbs. But if you find that my parents just aren't there, and you know, I feel a little bit left out because I should have had greater teachers. My parents weren't always. Well, look, your parents love you and they want you to know these words. I want you to understand. This is the words that parents want to tell their children. If I could be under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I'd be speaking Proverbs. Right? If I could just be under the hand of God and your parents could be under the hand of God without the flesh in the way, these are the words that your parents want you to hear. So we're going to go for a few Proverbs very quickly. Come back with me to the start. They're Proverbs 1. And we read verse number 8, but we'll read verse number 7 first. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7. Proverbs 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Children, when your parents are trying to give you wisdom and instruction, you're like, oh, I don't want to hear it. Oh, I already know. Oh, yeah, whatever, I'll do it later. The Bible says you're being fools. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be foolish, children. Verse number 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Children, you're subject to your parents. Obey your mom and dad. Listen to the instructions, the law, the commandments that your parents are giving you. This is why, verse number 9, for they, those are the instructions and laws, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. This is like jewelry. You look good on the outside, right? You put on maybe you have a nice watch or something. You go, man, that watch looks really cool on you. You know, you have a nice chain around your neck, right? A crown on your head. You go, man, on the outward, that person looks well-to-do. That person looks, you know, solid and strong. Well, if you live by the instructions that your parents give you, your inward man is going to demonstrate those same characteristics. You're going to be seen as wise children, quality children. People are going to come up to you and say, why are your children so good? How did you teach them? How did you instruct them? Man, when your son is old enough, tell him I've got a job for him. I want him to work for me. Because I can't find good enough young people out there, but your kids are so well behaved, I want them working for me. And all you need to do is just listen to what mom and dad do, say, and it's going to look good on you. Look, I don't want a bunch of slaves running my house or something like that. I want to give my kids instructions for their growth and benefit, for their long life, hopefully, and good years to come as they serve the Lord God. Parents, we've got to be a little strict on our kids, and sometimes our kids don't like that strictness, but we only have kids, we only have you for a short period of time. We know you're going to grow up and leave the home one day. We just want you to have good lives, happy lives, loving the Lord. You know, keeping yourself out of trouble. Is trouble going to follow you? Yes, trouble's always there, but to keep yourself out of max trouble, right? Only deal with necessity trouble, I guess, troubles of necessities. We don't want you to get into more problems than you need to. Come with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse number 11, Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. Proverbs 3, 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his instruction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. children, don't despise chastening. Don't despise correction. Don't despise the rod of correction. When your parents need to take out that rod and use it on their children, and it hurts, yeah, it hurts your bottom and it hurts the heart of your parent. They have to do it. But I want you to understand, when the Lord corrects you, it says there in verse number 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. You know, when your parents take that rod and you've done wrong, you need to be disciplined, it's out of love, is what it is. Are parents always going to apply the rod perfectly? No. But it's out of love. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. You know, children, if you get disciplined by your parents, it's because your parents delight in you. They love you. They want the best for you. It's not like it's almost contrary to your parents' heart to say, I better pick up that stick and apply it to the bottom of my child. Like most parents are like, I wish I didn't have to do this. But I love my child and I know what God commands of me. So I'm going to do it anyway. I know in the long run, it's going to benefit and bring fruits of righteousness in their lives. So children, when you're disciplined, or you feel like your sibling got it easier than you, you got it harder, or maybe your parents love you more then. That's not true. Your parents love you equally, okay? But I don't want you to think that if your life was a bit stricter than your siblings, you got more correction than your siblings, you got smacked more than your siblings, that means your parents hate you. No, it's actually your parents love you very much. Proverbs chapter 4, please. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 1. Proverbs 4, 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Look at this. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Brethren, your father gives you instruction, your parents give you instructions. It's good. Doctrine means teaching. It's good teaching. Forsake ye not the law. You know, even when you think, I don't think this is the best, Dad. Obey your parents in all things. It's good teaching. And again, I'm talking about here, this church here, okay? I know there are wicked parents. I know there are dysfunctional families. That's not who I'm preaching to right now. I'm preaching to God's people that are trying to live a life God's way. And children, if your parents brought you to church today, it's because they want you to learn good doctrine. They want the best for you. Look at verse number 3. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also. The father saying to the son, you know, yeah, like I'm father, you're the son, but I was a son once too. Right? I too had a father. I too had a mother. Like, this is just life. It continues. It plays out. I too got instructed by my parents. Like, I too got chastised by my parents. I too got corrected by my parents. And now it's your turn. And then one day you'll be the fathers and the mothers. And you'll be doing the same thing to your children. So verse number 4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. What this is teaching us, children, is that many times your parents' instructions to you are the same instructions they got from their parents. Ah, what do my parents know? It's come from grandma and granddad. And it's come from their parents, and it's come from their parents. There's great generational wisdom and experience. You don't need to learn on your own. You don't need to go and figure out what is right and wrong on your own and destroy your lives. Why don't you listen to the generations that have gone before you? and have made huge mistakes and don't want you making the same huge mistakes that they've made. Can you come with me to Proverbs 10? Proverbs 10 in verse number 1. Proverbs 10 in verse number 1. I better speed up a little bit now. Proverbs 10 verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father. Children, do you want to make your parents, do you want to make your parents glad? Why? Be wise. Have wisdom, God's wisdom in God's word. And it says, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know, there are mothers that go to the grave heavy-hearted, sorrowing, all the days of their life until they pass away and die because they raised foolish children. I don't want my mum going to the grave like that. Sorrowing, heaviness, upset. I don't think any kids want their parents living that kind of life. Well, be a wise child. Don't be foolish. Take the directions your parents give you. Come with me to... Well, I'm going to move on from that. Okay, I've got a few more proverbs, but I'll move on for the sake of time. I want to talk to you very quickly about the age of 20 in the Bible. We're not going to look at any passages. You can do your own study in your own time. But it seems very strongly to me anyway that the age of adulthood in the Bible, or the age of full responsibility before the eyes of a God, is 20 years. And of course, the most famous passage, and like we kind of understand that even as a society. That's why in Australia we say, well, 18 is when you're an adult. Like it's close to 20. And then in the United States, I think it's 21. The only two places in the world that say it's 20, it's New Zealand and Japan. Is that right, sister? 20 years old. So they're following the Bible, right? New Zealanders, crazy. Crazy. And the Japanese, crazy. But somehow they figured that out, right? About the age of 20 is when you're considered an adult. You were not allowed to go to war and be a soldier until you were 20 years old. There were certain sacrifices that were to brought to the temple if you're over the age of 20. And of course, when Israel rejected going into the promised land, all right, and they had to spend 40 years in the wilderness, who were the ones that died in the wilderness? Who did God hold completely accountable for that decision? Those that were 20 years old and over. And those that were under 20 were allowed to go back into the promised land. All right? This is why, and parents, we need to be, and I'll preach about parents one day in the future, but we need to understand that our children are still developing, they're still growing, they're still learning, and we want to make sure we direct our children in the right paths. And look, if we teach our children in a really bad way and they really mess up their lives, you know, I truly believe God's going to hold you accountable. Like, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness, you know. But here's the thing. It's not like the children get away with anything. They're still responsible. They're still accountable to God. Like, even in our society today, like, let's say a 25-year-old robs a bank. He's going to have the full brunt of the law laid upon him. But what if a 15-year-old robs a bank? We call them juvenile offenders, don't we? They go for a different court system, unrelated to the adult court system. Like, even in society today, recognize if a 15-year-old does something stupid, they're still developing, they haven't got all the wisdom, they haven't got all their thoughts in place, and, you know, we're going to treat them, we're going to be a little bit more gentle with a 15-year-old that robs a bank than a 25-year-old that robs a bank, right? Even society understands that concept. And that's kind of what we see in the Bible. You know, it was those that were 20 years and over that had to die in the wilderness, but still, those under 20 still suffered. They still had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Imagine being 19 years old and you're like, yes, I'm not going to die in the wilderness. But 40 years in the wilderness before we go to the promised land, I'm going to be 59 years old by the time. I mean, even the young generation still suffered. They still bear the consequences, but they're the consequences of their parents' bad decisions. Now, very quickly, come with me to 2 Kings. Because when I teach this, people often say, so Pastor, are you saying that I can do anything till I'm 20 years old and I'll get away with it? No, but there is a principle that I understand that God is going to be more gentle with young people and children than he is with the adults. God holds you accountable, it seems to me, fully for your actions and behavior by the age. Like, if you're 21 and you just go and mess up your life, like, oh, it's just, I had a bad child bringing. Like, I had bad parents. I wasn't raised well. You can't get away with that anymore. You're old enough to know the differences between right and wrong. You're old enough to be accountable for your own actions at that point. And just to combat that very quickly, I know it might be a little bit off topic, but it's this story here in 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Just in case someone says, Pastor said, if I'm a child, I'll just get away with anything. Okay. Well, we have this great story here. In 2 Kings, great story. It's kind of controversial, but anyway, let's 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 23. This is about Elisha. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bold head, go up, thou bold head. So they're mocking him. They're mocking the prophet of God. They call him bold. I guess nothing wrong with being bold, but they're mocking his boldness. Go up. Previously in this chapter, we have Elijah. He was caught up to heaven in the whirlwind, right? In the chariots of fire. And so I guess that story made its rounds and people like, you know, Elijah went up. Like this miracle took place and these kids come out. Look at bold-headed Elisha. You know, the story about Elijah going up to heaven in a whirlwind, that must be crazy stuff. You go up now, bold-head. Go up, bold-head. Mocking the prophet of God. Verse 24, and he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 42 children of them. Wow, what a story. Little children. God holds them fully accountable for what they've done to the prophet of God. Mocking this man. Say, why would that? I've had that question. How do you understand this part? I mean, just first of all, just take it at surface level. That's what happened. I mean, like, be careful about who you mock, especially a man of God who's trying to serve the Lord faithfully. But I'll just give you an answer to this very quickly. Come with me to Leviticus 26. I'm only addressing this because I don't want anyone to walk away thinking, Pastor said I can be a little child and I can just do anything and it's my parents that's going to get punished for it, not me. All right? I don't know. A she-bear might just come out of the woods. What do we have here? Snakes, right? A red-bellied snake might just pop out of the grass. Leviticus 26, please. Now, if you understand the history of Israel, Elisha was there, and these prophets were used by God primarily to the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel, the nation, was already divided, right, into two kingdoms, northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah, where Elisha is preaching to the northern kingdom of Israel. And at that point in time, especially with the kings that we read about, these were horrible men. Like, this was a wicked nation, okay? They had turned to idols, they were worshipping false gods, all right? It was a wicked nation. And God's trying to help this nation with Elijah and then with Elisha. Okay, I want you to understand the context. It's not like little children just turn up, like little innocent kids. This is a wicked generation. And you can see by the kids' behavior how they felt about the things of God, to be mocking the prophet of God like that. Well, God's already warned this nation that these things can happen. Because in Leviticus 26 and verse number 21, Leviticus 26, verse number 21, if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. One of the curses God tells his people, he already warns them before any of this happens, gives them long time warning. If you don't walk in my ways, then the wild beasts are going to come and destroy, take your children away, destroy your children. We see that play out in a very graphic way with Elisha. So don't think they're just innocent kids just mucking around. No, no, this is a wicked nation. Generations have turned their backs against the Lord. You can see by the way the children are behaving. 42 of them mocking. It's, by the way, kids, be careful when you get into a large group of children. Same applies online. Be careful when you get into large groups of social media platforms. Like, kids influence kids. And most often, the most wicked are going to influence that group. The only reason I'm covering that, kids, number one, be careful who you make friends with. But number two, I don't want you to walk away thinking, Pastor said, I can just get away with anything. Okay, no, no, you're still... God's going to hold you accountable for your mistakes. But obviously, he's going to be much more lenient with children because they're still developing. Which is why it's so important that parents, we help our children through this process as they become adults. Can you come with me to Mark chapter 10? Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10, verse number 6. Mark chapter 10. Thank you for your patience. Mark chapter 10. The question, I think, is asked, do I just obey my parents? Because honoring parents, we saw one of the conditions is to obey your parents in all things. All right, so what about when I'm 30 years old? Do I still have to obey my parents? And look, by 30, obviously you're an adult. You are fully responsible for what decisions you make in life. But I believe... I don't think I can find a Bible verse that would, you know, is contrary to what I'm about to say. I believe that if you're 30 years old and still living with your parents, you're still living in their under their umbrella, in their house, under you're still under their authority. You should still honor their authority, even if you're 30 years old, in their house. You say, when am I released from obeying my parents? I believe Mark 10:6 and many other references we could turn to potentially. But Mark 10:6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, or for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. I personally believe you're released from obeying your mum and dad, if you're living in their house anyway. From the time you get married, you leave father and mother, you cleave to your wife. You are now one flesh. You are now a new family unit. Now you don't have to obey mom and dad anymore. Okay? Husbands, you've become the head of your wife. You are fully accountable for your family. Obviously, you should leave mother and father. You know, I don't recommend living with the in-laws unless it's temporary, urgent type scenario. But, you know, you shouldn't make your life where I'm just going to live with mom and dad, because that's going to create strange relationship problems, okay, that you don't want. You want to honor your mom and dad. And sometimes it's easier to honor mom and dad when you're married, when you're not too close to them, okay, because now you got to put your spouse first before your parents. Can you come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5? 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, just because you're married and you're not required to obey your mother and father anymore, does that mean you stop honoring mom and dad? Of course not. Okay? You don't stop. You don't, okay, now I can curse my mother and father. No. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. I just want to talk about aging parents. Now, we already seen a man who was able to come and bring an offering or a gift to the temple. Jesus Christ said they're still required to honor father and mother, but you're giving them the go-ahead to curse mother and father as long as they come and bring a gift. We're talking about an adult man at that point in time. And there are times that as our parents age, I believe we ought to honor them, okay, as they age, because they worked so hard when you were born. They gave you life. They changed your nappies, right? They gave you baths. They fed you. They worked hard to make sure this child can be brought up and live a good life. Even when parents still make mistakes, they tried their best, all right? They love you. They try to teach you. They try to guide you. You know, when I talk to people that have grown up in broken homes and bad parents, there are still moments they'll say to me, but there was this one time when I really did see my father's love toward me. There were these words that my mom said that still resonate to me today, and I know she meant best for me. Even in a broken, horrible home, there are still, you'll find those gems. You know, because your parents do love you. They can have messed up lives, but they still love you. And so your parents spend so much time and effort to give you a good life and a good future. And then it's just a cycle of life. Those parents start getting older and they need help. They need support, right? Their bodies start to break down. They need assistance. Oh, pastor, that's nursing home. That's what you do. You just chuck them in the nursing home and let them die. And we just wait for the inheritance to come in. That's the Australian way. Many times. Well, honestly, that's like, what? I don't mean anything, but like, I'm just saying, like, it blows my mind how many times I hear that. So my parents are going, I'm going to take him to the nursing home. My mom worked as a nurse in a nursing home, and she told me family barely came to visit these people. And they just had a lonely life, and many times did not see any of their grandkids or their great-grandkids, and they just died and nobody cared. I don't want my parents going out that way. I don't want that. I don't believe that's me honoring my mom and dad. All right? Anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 3. We have some instructions about elderly people. 1 Timothy 5 verse 30, honor widows that are widows indeed. And if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. Requite is like to repay. Well, that's kind of what it means, right? Their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Look, I don't have this mindset. I'm just waiting for my parents to pass away for the inheritance. Man, I owe them. As they get older, I want to be there for them. Help them. If they fall, they have a medical need, they need help. Man, I'll be the first one there to help my parents. I'm not going to neglect my wife or my kids. That's my first priority. But we see what is good and acceptable to God is to care for your aging parents. So I still honor my mother and father. I want you to continue honoring your father and mother. And I know they're not perfect. I know they're not the best. I know they're not always saved and love the Lord and live the exact life you want them to live. Can you come with me to Luke 22? Come with me to Luke 22. You know, parents, I'll just say this. It's instructions to parents very quickly. I know you got rules for your children and you want to make sure you raise your kids as best as you know how. And you look at your parents sometimes and your parents aren't on the same page as you. They're not the best. They haven't got the same rules and instructions. And I hear it too often. I just don't let my kids see my parents anymore because, you know, I honor your mom and dad. They love grandkids. And generally speaking, grandkids just love their grandparents. Some connection in their heart. Don't rob them from that. Look, go and spend 1 hour with grandma who might be a smoker and you don't want to see your kids see smoking. Look, you've got 24/7 with your kids. I don't want my kids to think smoking's okay, so I'm going to keep them from grandma or whatever it is. All right, you got the rest of the 23 hours once you get them back. Say, kids, we love grandma, but what she's doing is not a good example. Smoking's that's a good time to teach them. Smoking's not good for you. All right? You can, that smell, that stench in the house, that dirty feeling, the ash that you see laying around, you don't want your life to be like that. You know how much it costs to buy a pack of cigarettes? You don't want to spend your hard-earned cash on addiction like that. And it destroys your lungs and it destroys your health and brings cancer into your life. But we still love grandma. And then you can teach them, hey, we're like that chain-smoking grandma in the sight of God, as sinners, filthy on the inside. But still, Jesus Christ accepted us and died for us, loved us so much. Honor your father and mother. So it's not just the little children. Talk to the adults. You've got parents. Hopefully they're still alive. Show them that you love them, that you care, that you appreciate them. Even if they've not been the great parents that you needed over the years, on Father's Day, send them a little message. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mum. Merry Christmas. You know, even if you don't talk to them, just send them a little message. Send them a card. Send them a photo of the family. Do something to show them that you honor them and you appreciate them for what they've done for you. But Luke 22, let's end this sermon. Kids, I know it's not always the easiest to obey mum and dad, right? Dads, mums and dads, go clean up your room. Ah, you don't ask so-and-so. Ah, I don't know, whatever. You already told me. I'm in the middle of Roblox. Whatever it is, right? Whatever game you're playing. just obey mum and dad, right? Add some years to your life. But, you know, if I obey mum and dad and I pick up my shoes, I might get an extra 2 days in my life. Yeah, it's worth it. 2 more days to play Roblox. Whatever crazy activity you want to do, right? But what about Jesus? Did he obey his father? Luke 22, verse number 41. And when he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is Jesus going to death, to die on the cross, to pay for all of our sins, to suffer for all of us. Jesus Christ was obedient to death. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Man, when the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, it's that's too hard. What did Jesus do? He obeyed to death. Now, I'm never going to ask my kids, go and die. And neither are any parents here. We can't die for people's sins or the world's sins or anything like that, okay? That's not something we can accomplish. So you're not going to get that commandment to go and die for the sins of mankind or something like that, okay? But anytime you think the commandment's too hard, and I'm pretty sure your parents' commandments aren't anywhere near as hard as go and die for me, son. Go and die for a wicked, sinful people. Jesus Christ is always the best example. Oh, my parents are too strict. They're too hard. They're not asking you to go and die on a cross. And yet Jesus' example was to be obedient unto death for you and for me. One more passage and we'll end. Please, Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Jesus Christ, God never asks us things that he himself has not done. Christ, we are to walk in his footsteps. We are to follow his example. Like, think, what is the hardest things your parents have ever asked you to do? Does it even compare to dying on a cross? It's my life. I don't know what kids say. My kids don't say that, by the way. I'm just saying. I've learned my lesson not to embarrass my kids. I'm just in general, okay? Well, in Genesis 22, we have another illustration of this. Okay, Father Abraham and his son Isaac. Genesis 22, verse number 7. And you know the story, right? God asked Abraham to go and offer his son as a sacrifice. Number one, we see the obedience of Abraham, but we also see the obedience of his son Isaac. And in verse number 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Look, Isaac says, Dad, we're going to offer a sacrifice. We have the fire here. We have the wood. We're ready to go, but what are we sacrificing, Dad? That's a good question. Verse number 9, and they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. and laid him upon the altar, laid him on the altar upon the wood. What kind of obedience did Isaac have to say, all right, Dad, I'll lay there. Tie me up. I'll be the sacrifice. Wow. You say, well, you know, Jesus obeyed unto death. All right, that's God. Perfect son, obeying a perfect father. Well, Isaac's not a perfect son, and Abraham's not a perfect father. But we know what that foreshadowed. We know that foreshadowed the sacrifice of Christ. And I just want to show you the obedience of Isaac to go, Dad, if you think this is the best, all right. Now, of course, no harm was done. You know, an angel of the Lord stopped Abraham before anything happened. Right? It's a symbolic, it's an object lesson of the gospel. No harm was done to the child, okay? But I just want to point out to you that if you turn around and say, well, okay, Jesus is our example, but he's perfect. Okay, but Isaac wasn't, and Abraham wasn't. And even then, we see the obedience of the son to his father. So children, and look, I'm not going to talk about scenarios where you've got, you know, a father sexually assaulting their children or some reprobate. Or obviously, you go to the authorities. If I hear about anything like that, I'm going to the authorities, okay? I'm talking about everyday mums and dads here at New Life Baptist Church that love their children, that want the best for them. That's who the sermon is targeting this morning, all right? Children, you're to submit to your parents. You're to honor your father and your mother. You're to obey them in all things. And I want you to understand your parents give you instruction, direction, rebuke, and chastisement for your best. For your best. For you to have a long life. For things to go well for you. Okay, what a commandment of promise. It's not even that hard to do, really, kids. And I'm telling you, you're not going to be a burden to your mom. You're going to be a wise child. You know, your parents will rejoice in you. Others are going to talk about, boy, you've raised great kids. And, man, those kids there at New Life Baptist Church are so much better than the kids out there, you know, amongst the community. You know, and those are the ornaments and the chains that you've got around your neck. You know, these are wonderful truths from God's Word. So, children, please remember to honor your mother and father, submit to your parents. And hey, adult kids, as your parents age, don't forget them. Don't forget them. You know, God asks that you would look out for your aging parents. Okay, they need your help as well. All right, let's pray.